This episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
I am loving being sponsored by Acorn because now when I stay up all night watching television, I'm actually doing research.
How clever. And so what are you watching now? What are you researching now?
Well, thank you. Right now I'm researching My Life is Murder, which I mean, another detective who is shocked. But it is I would call this a detective comedy drama. And it is with Lucy Lawless.
Love her.
Love her. And she is a former detective getting pulled back into cases. And Lucy Lawless is one of the most watchable people in the whole world.
She has it.
She has it. It's just terrific. It's so terrific. Yeah. And the character not only solves crimes, but likes to bake bread. So really has everything I love.
So you out there, sign up for a 30-day free trial with promo code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. Hey, everybody, it's Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're in New York today, and we had so many great questions from you guys in the wilderness.
Oh!
That we have a bonus episode. So here we go. Our first question is about picky eaters. Quote, I have a question about hosting a private dinner party. After finding out that diners have so many different dietary restrictions that there is no possible menu to accommodate everyone, can I ask people to bring what they alone can eat? Or do I cook in separate pans and utensils? Do I potluck? It has gotten incredibly difficult to host a dinner party of more than four in California. No gluten, nuts, meat, eggs, fish, berry, breads, butter, sulfites. Is it okay to just tell these folks that we should just go to a restaurant instead? It's way too much work to accommodate these people, even if they are relatives and they have invited themselves to my house. It's also probably true that they're going to expect me to pick up the tab. What is the polite way to handle this? Well, I have some initial thoughts.
Okay.
I am from California. I feel like this is unfair to all of us. There are some very reasonable Californians.
You're disagreeing with the question.
You know, there are some of us who are delightful dinner party guests, happy to eat whatever you want to serve, no problem. So I guess the first question is, how do we accommodate people with different dietary restrictions? Is that the first question here?
That is the first question.
So I think the idea of going to a restaurant, I guess, is okay. But I think there is something nice about hospitality in your home. The idea of a dinner party is very nice.
And I feel that this person wanted to have a dinner party in their home.
Yes.
It just got complicated.
Right. So I think the solution is, let's pick a cuisine that is inherently accommodating to as many different dietary restrictions as possible. So like, what if we did Ethiopian? That could be vegan. The injera bread, that spongy bread, that's inherently gluten-free. Like, that could maybe cross a lot of boxes off for a lot of people and could be fun. So like, pick a cuisine that maybe everyone could enjoy. So Indonesian could work, Thai, Japanese, Lebanese. So I think maybe let's make a party with a cuisine that everyone can enjoy. That's an idea.
Yes. I think you could also do plates. Like, you could have a veggie plate for people that don't eat anything. You know what I mean? Like, oh, here, these are just vegetables.
Okay.
So they can pick it. It's almost more buffet style.
Right.
But you'd have that. And then you could have, like you said, you could even make like a lasagna with gluten-free noodles. Mm-hmm. And then like a chicken. And then if somebody doesn't fit into any of those categories, they have to bring their own food.
Okay. So we want to still try and be accommodating if possible.
I think you could make a few.
Yeah.
Like, I had a bunch of people over and there's always vegetarians. And then now gluten-free is more and more. Mm-hmm. So I had like a few things that fit into each of those categories.
Yeah.
If you had very specific needs, you were going to have to bring your own.
Yes. Or I guess if your very specific needs can be accommodated, I guess we would try, maybe. I guess it depends on how specific we want to get. Because like, we can avoid meat. Like, we could make a vegetarian meal.
Oh, absolutely.
And we could even go as far as vegan. Like, I think we can get there. And so then it's just a question about like nuts, berries, sulfites.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. But also, do you want everything to be vegan? You know, you may just be a meat lover, in which case you could have a vegetarian option.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Now, the second part of this question, which caught my ear, was that these are relatives that have invited themselves to my house. So I think that's a separate etiquette question.
Yeah, that seems to be a separate. They're like, hey, I'm coming over and can you accommodate cook for all my dietary restrictions?
So that I don't think we need to accommodate. And then there's they're going to expect me to pick up the tab if we dine into a restaurant.
I would say then have a house party.
Have a house party. However, if you do invite people to a restaurant and you are the host, you are picking up the tab. So that instinct is correct. You will pay if you are hosting if it's at a restaurant.
I think this person just felt forced into going to a restaurant because nothing that he or she was cooking yes. met their needs.
Yes. So potluck or buffet with enough options?
Yeah.
Okay. Our next question is, what is the proper etiquette when entering a single person public restroom? Should you knock? Nobody else I know knocks first. They just attack the handle like the police serving a search warrant.
Actually, can we go back to one thing really quickly?
Sure.
Just because they asked about the separate cooking things. Mm-hmm. For vegetarians, they definitely don't want any like stock, you know, if you cook in a stock.
Sure.
So I would just be careful to label it.
Yes. And that could even be like a halal kosher thing too, potentially.
Yeah, I would just let people know what it is. If you can't accommodate, you can't accommodate. You're trying your best. But just make sure if something was cooked in a chicken stock or there was dairy, you know, I would just let people know.
But then I guess the question is, what obligation do you have to your guests about informing them in advance about what is happening? Because if I was very restricted with my diet, I guess I would want to know if I'm showing up to your dinner party, will I be able to eat anything?
I think you just say, I'm cooking these three groups.
Okay.
I'm having a chicken. I'm having a gluten-free vegetable lasagna.
And we're doing a vegan
And I'm
fantasy.
Having a non-dairy vegetable plate.
Okay.
If you can't eat any of these three things, please feel free to bring something for yourself.
Okay. All right, great.
That's what I would, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you want to do your best and you want to be gracious. At the end of the day, you want your guests to be comfortable. So I think as long as you are welcoming and you are as accommodating as possible, then I think that's nice. Guests also have an obligation too, though. Everyone has their part to play. So guests want to minimize the inconvenience on their hosts as well. So I think, you know, they have to step up a little bit and not be aggrieved.
Yeah. I also think if you can't accommodate everybody or you just want to make lasagna, then do that and be like, this is what I'm making.
Come or not.
Come or not.
Right.
Feel free to bring something else.
RSVP, yes or no.
That's so, if you don't feel like accommodating, I don't think you have to accommodate. Just let people know what's there and that they can bring something else.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah. All right, let's go with that.
Okay.
Done.
Done.
Our next question, that bathroom door. Are you executing a search warrant when you try and enter? I think knocking first is nice.
I would always knock first.
Yeah. I think the trick though is sometimes you're in a place and it's very loud. And so you don't always hear the response. So I guess jiggling is also good then at this point.
Yeah, I think you should do a knock up top.
Up top?
No, I just mean in the beginning.
Oh, in the beginning, not at the top of the door frame. Yeah. Okay.
Up top of the multiple things we're going to try to do to see if the door is open.
I see. Yeah, that's step one. I have had experiences where there was actually nobody inside the bathroom and they had locked it from the inside. This is a very tricky situation.
Oh, that is tricky. Now you have to involve somebody.
Yeah. Now you have to get management. Right. That's beside the point. Our next question is a voicemail. Let's listen to that now.
I have a question about managing tacky gifts from relatives. Here's my situation. My partner and I just moved into and remodeled a dream home. Everybody in our family is very excited. My family lives very close. And my mother has wonderful taste and has been a part of kind of our design process, knows what my partner and I are going for. And she has given us really some beautiful gifts that fit perfectly into our home to help us warm it up. My partner's family has been more removed. They live several hours away. Their experience with the house and me, honestly, isn't very much. My mother-in-law, I think, is wanting to contribute. And so she's been sending a lot of gifts. The problem is that they're very, very tacky. I don't understand what she's thinking. My partner doesn't understand what she's thinking. So we've already been kind of managing what to do with these things as they enter our house. We've got a housewarming party coming up where his side of the family is going to come and visit. And I was wondering if it would be appropriate to create a housewarming registry of some kind to kind of help guide these relatives and minimize the amount of stuff that will eventually become clutter in the house. And bonus points, if you can help me figure out how to frame this, what language to use so that it sounds gracious and polite. Help.
Oh. So I followed up and I asked this person to text me a photo of an example of one of these tacky gifts. And so one of the examples was a insulated wine clutch. And it was sort of a teal, pleathery thing. And it kind of looked like a little purse. And you put a wine bottle in it.
Yep.
So I didn't think it was that terrible.
I mean, I thought you could re-gift that.
But I get that, you know, it's not your taste. I get that. No problem. I have very specific taste. I'm notoriously difficult to buy things for. Leah has managed to purchase correct gifts for me.
Oh.
So I guess that just goes to show you know me very well. But most people would struggle. So I get it. But the thing to do is just accept it. Just say thank you. Thank you so much for the teal pleather wine clutch.
I think if you're afraid that everybody's going to come over and bring tons of stuff that you dislike.
Yeah, like a big stuffed animal from a fair.
Yeah.
Like.
You could have, it's your husband's parents.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because she's saying.
Yeah, it's his side of the family.
I think it's always good to go through the side of the family that it is.
Okay.
So you could ask your partner, hey, do you want to see if you can tell your parents that if they want to give us something, this is something we need and are looking for.
So drop some nice hints.
Through
him.
Him.
Yeah. Okay. I think that would be okay. Although I don't love the idea of soliciting gifts.
No, but they clearly are going to keep doing it.
Yeah. But when you have a registry, it makes it very overt that like, we want you to give us gifts and we want you to give us these gifts. So I don't like that tone.
Okay.
But I guess if you're dropping very specific hints about if you were going to be bringing something, this is something that could be okay.
So you're saying not appropriate to create a registry.
I don't love the registry thing, no. If you do the registry, you're basically saying like, we expect you to bring gifts. And I don't think you should have that expectation for housewarming. It is common. It is sort of expected. It's what is done. But there's that pageantry of like, oh, you brought me something? No, you shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. You need that pageantry.
I know that in a few episodes ago, we said specifically not to do this, but...
Okay. There's always exceptions.
If this is a thing this person really wants to do, maybe there's a way to say, we really don't expect gifts. Some of you have asked what we need.
Yeah, but now this is a mass email? What is this?
This is just to the people that they're worried about.
I mean, here's the thing. If you give an instruction to these people, these teal, pleather, wine clutch people... Are they going to be able to follow your instructions to the T and dial in exactly the gift that's your taste unless you're giving them like a barcode?
Right.
Right? Like as if you're like, oh, you know, we could really use some white towels. Inevitably, you're not going to get the right white towels.
That's true.
You're not going to get the right white towels. That's true. From these people. So it feels like just let them bring whatever they think you might like and re-gift it. Or maybe you'll luck out or give it to charity or whatever. But I think you just kind of have to accept your fate.
I think, yeah, just let it go.
I would let it go, yeah.
Like, I would tell my parents, hey, this is something I need for my housewarming, but they're my parents.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you know also the relationship that you have with your parents.
Yeah, because so. They also, you know, I know that they would want direction.
Right, right. They don't know.
But I don't think I would step in.
But yeah, I think when you're like adults and you're buying a new house and you sort of already have an established life, yeah, I think it just, let them bring whatever they want to bring. And hope for the best.
Yeah, and unless they ask, and then you can send them links.
Sure, okay, yes. If you're invited to send them links,
if
then
there's
okay.
Some kind of opening where you can be like, down. Oh, this, here it is, then send them links.
Okay, fine. But I don't
I think
that.
You could also specify if you really dislike everything they bring you is when you do the housewarming, say, please no gifts.
You could definitely ask for no one to bring gifts, I guess, sure.
Because sometimes in like a wedding or a marriage or a new home, people need things.
Sure.
But
yes.
I'm not getting that that's what this
I'm
is.
I'm not getting that vibe.
I think if you need things.
Yes. If you are creating a new household.
A new home and right. You need things, then I think it's fine.
But these people already have two KitchenAids.
Yeah. So. I don't think that's what that is.
No. Okay. And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Incogni. And what Incogni does is basically helps get your personal information off of the internet.
What's so funny is that before Incogni ever approached us, Nick has been telling me to get online and do this because I never Google myself. I never look at anything. I don't have the bandwidth. And my incorrect age is floating out there.
Right. Yeah. There are serious consequences. Yes. So I've helped Leah sign up and it is very easy to sign up. You basically just like sign up and you give them permission to reach out to data brokers on your behalf. And then they just like take care of it. They reach out, they request all this information to be deleted. They report back to you, let you know how it's going. And like, that's it. And so Incogni has an amazing deal for our listeners. Get an exclusive 60% discount. 60. That's a lot. So go to incogni.com/WYRBW. That's incogni.com/WYRBW. And now it's time for an intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
And Acorn TV is thousands of hours. And when I say thousands, let me tell you that I cannot wait to watch every single one of those hours. Thousands of hours of commercial-free British television, and that includes Australian, Irish, Scottish, Canadian. And speaking of...
Yes, so I actually just started with season one, episode one of Murdoch Mysteries, because everybody's talking about like, oh, how popular it is and how much they love it. And I was like, I got to see what this is about. And it is so charming. It takes place in turn of the century, Toronto. And obviously there are some mysteries and everybody has great hair. That was like my big takeaway. It was like, wow, everybody has great hair in this episode. And new episodes drop every Monday.
I love that. I'm like, I love the mystery. And you're like, I love their hair.
There's something for everybody. So you out there, you can watch Murdoch Mysteries with code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. Our next question is, quote, my boss cracks her knuckles compulsively. We share an office, so we spend the day in close proximity. Whenever she talks to someone, she cracks each knuckle in turn. The noise is like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'm not allowed to wear headphones at work, so that's not an option. How can I politely ask her to stop? I'm afraid it's an ingrained habit, and she doesn't consciously realize she's doing it. So you made some faces.
Yeah.
While I was reading this question. Do you have an issue with knuckle cracking?
I think when you're trying to concentrate and people make a noise like that, it's very disruptive.
Yeah, it definitely takes you out of the moment.
Takes you out of the moment. And yeah, it's a hard noise to listen to.
Yeah. I think there is probably some weird deep down evolutionary response that people have to this.
Yeah.
So what do we do about it?
I really don't know, because it's your boss.
Mm.
And
you're not allowed to wear headphones at work.
Maybe I was thinking you could get those little earplugs and you could say, I know I'm not allowed to wear headphones, but I would be more productive if I wasn't distracted by noises.
I mean, I don't know why we have a no headphone rule, but I can't imagine earplugs are fine.
Well, sometimes people have earphones and they're listening to things. Like, they don't want you listening to a podcast.
Oh.
But if you have earplugs in, you're just trying to block out noise.
Okay. So earplugs.
I would say, hey, I know that we have no earphones, but I was hoping I could wear earplugs because I get distracted by noises and I would be more productive.
Mm.
Then they would say, what noises? And then you would say, oh.
You know, Lisa's incredibly annoying habit of cracking her knuckles. I think we would want to give a shot to saying something. And I think we can say something in a nice and polite and direct way.
Okay.
Because my whole new thing is to be more direct.
Yes.
It's a whole new me. No more passive aggressive. I'm going for it.
Okay.
So I think we would just say to the boss, like, I'm so sorry. I know you don't realize you're doing this. And I realize it's just like my thing, but I'm just particularly sensitive to the sound of knuckles cracking. And so if you could just be mindful when you do it and try not to do it around me. Something in that flavor.
And I would mention how it makes you less productive. It ruins your concentration.
Okay. Yeah. We could throw in what's in it for her. Yeah. What's in it for her? Right. Said I can earn more money for the company. Sure.
I can be more focused in the moment.
Yeah. But I feel like we can say something and not make it personal. Acknowledge that this is a habit. Acknowledge that we know she doesn't do this on purpose.
Right.
It's not malicious. She probably doesn't even realize she's doing it. So I think we could try and say something. Yeah.
I would love to hear how that goes.
Yeah. Letter writer, if you do that and you don't get fired, I guess let us know.
I almost feel like it's something that you would talk to HR about, whether or not you can say that.
To a boss? I mean, what is that conversation?
The conversation that we literally just had. Can I wear...
Oh, but the earplugs.
Yeah, I would like to say something is that, you know, I feel like people are so sensitive now that it might be like starts a whole thing where, you know what I mean? Should you go to HR first and be like, I'm having trouble concentrating because there's a lot of knuckle cracking and I would just like to have a healthy conversation about it since I can't wear headphones. What do you think?
Okay. And so see if they want to have a conversation with the boss?
No, see if
you've told them
first. That way there's no way you can get...
Oh, it's just documentation in case you get fired for retribution.
Yes.
I see. Okay. It's just a CYA kind of thing. Gotcha. Okay. I guess in hindsight, I think the earplug thing is nice. That feels like the more easier route. The path of least resistance.
And then if it's a conversation, you'll have the conversation of what the noises are. But you say I get distracted easily by noises.
Yeah, just noises in general.
And then see where that goes.
Okay. I guess we just want to plant the seed about your noise sensitivity.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I feel satisfied with this response.
I think go for your response, but...
Well, letter writer, you have some options. They're not all great. Let us know how it goes. Our next question is about tipping. So here it is. I just left a nail salon that wouldn't allow me to tip for my gel manicure on my credit card. They only accept tips in cash. There was an ATM in the salon, but I refused to pay a $3.95 ATM fee. The total for my manicure was $38, and Lisa, the girl who did my nails, did a mediocre job at best. I just got home, and I happen to have a random $6 here. So my question is, do I drive back to the salon and give Lisa her $6 tip? I normally always tip 20%, even when service is bad, because I know people can have an off day, and I'd feel too guilty to function otherwise. I understand that some places will give a 5% discount for cash payments, but I haven't had a place refuse a card, or in this case, not have the ability to tip on a card, in at least 5 years. So I feel annoyed. I want Lisa to have her tip, even though she didn't do so well, and I would not recommend her to a friend. I also really do not want to get back in the car and drive to the salon that I feel is giving cashless idiots like me the runaround. Like, how can you just not add a tip on the card? Am I being unreasonable? Should someone just always have cash on them? Should I have called ahead and asked? Okay, Leah just pointed at me. She's like, you go.
What I want to say and what I would do are totally different things.
So first of all, you got to tip Lisa. You got to tip her. So I think you do not have to drive back to the salon today. Okay, we will give you a pass. You're already home. Fine. But this week, you need to go and you have to drop off an envelope with Lisa's name on it with the tip. I think you have to do that this week.
So, yeah, I think you can go back and drop it off anytime.
Right. So I think you got to do that. Now, the whole thing about like tipping in cash and tipping on the credit card, that's a business thing. That's not an etiquette thing. So this is what the policy of this salon has. And so that's what it is. Would it be more hospitable if they made it very easy for people to tip on a card? Okay. I get why they don't do that.
No, but it's also, I do think, because it's not just, this is very common in New York.
You can't, oh, sure.
You cannot tip
Good
with cash.
Luck.
You can't tip on a card.
Yes, yeah, forget it.
And then they have their ATMs mm-hmm. with the big, it's like a racket.
Yep.
Everybody's running a racket.
It's a huge scam.
So because I've had this happen, I always have cash. So I understand being annoyed by it because it is a racket.
Yeah.
You are going to have to use their ATM. You are going to have that fee. And then you're going to have a fee, you know?
Right.
But it's not Lisa's fault.
Yeah. Let's not punish Lisa here. Yeah. I mean, you can punish Lisa for not doing a great job. That's a separate thing. Although I think you should still tip Lisa. Just tip her and just don't go back.
Also just tip her because that way you don't ever have to feel bad about it or
yeah.
think about
tip
it
tip her
again.
The full 20%, which would be $7.60, not
yeah,
$6.
But it's but it's probably...
There's some tax. Okay.
Also, I think people outside of the city tip 15 to 20 to 18.
Well, she says she always tips 20.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I think you just drive back, give Lisa the tip. Now, one thing I have done, because the guy who does my hair, they do the whole tip in cash only thing. I just asked him one day, like, what's your Venmo? And what I do when I'm done is I just Venmo him the tip.
Oh, that's great.
And like, voila. And so no fees for him, no fees for me. Everyone's happy. I don't have to carry cash. Problem solved.
I also think you cannot go back to this place ever again.
Yeah, I think if you're not happy with the service, just as a separate issue, don't go back. I'm sure you can get a gel manicure somewhere else.
Yeah, at some point this week, go back and tip her. And then so you can feel good about your conscience.
Tie that in a bow.
And then take your business elsewhere where they don't gouge your ATM fees.
So our last thing is a vent. And this person says that she's annoyed by, quote, people who ask super specific questions that are only pertinent to their situation in a group setting. Like if you're taking a tour of a school. And I could totally picture this. Where someone is like, excuse me, I have a question. Do you allow people named George to enroll in this one class if they have 4 AP credits already in the related sciences? And you're like, take that offline.
It's so true. I actually tried to do a joke about this. People
really?
Who ask questions to relay information about themselves in group settings.
Okay.
Because I feel like it slows down the whole group so much.
Yeah.
This also really annoys me. I think we've discussed how we've seen it in talkbacks at movies.
Oh, sure.
Where
this is not a question, it's a comment.
Yeah. Then, or people will pose a question because they're trying to... Sometimes they'll have during award season or new movies or new TV shows, they'll have a talk back where some of the actors or directors or producers will be there after. And then people from the audience can ask a question. Mm-hmm. Actually, and recently SAG-AFTRA sent an email out being like, if you can't ask a question that's an appropriate question, stop asking a question. Because people will just use it as a thing that's about them
right.
to ask to one of these people. And it's just so obviously not a question. It's just put in question form.
I noticed in this one scene that you used blue. I know when I'm making films and I use blue, that I use it for this reason. Do you agree with me?
I noticed that you use a lot of actresses that have curly hair. And I was wondering if you're casting, and because I've done what I've been working on. And then they just talk about what they've been working on. I've recently been filming this thing. And you're like, oh, are you pitching? This is not a pitch meeting.
Yeah. So that's a great vent. Yeah.
Great vent.
Don't do that. Read the room. Well, thanks everybody for these great questions.
Thank you so much for your great questions.
If you have questions for us, send them in.
Send them in.
Please. You can send them to us through our website, WereRaisedByWolves.com. You can also leave us a voicemail, 267-CALL-RBW. You can send us a text message there too. And we would also love you to visit our Patreon because you can actually like support us and you can buy me a cup of coffee so I can stay up late and get this thing edited. And we'll send you a thank you note.
That would be fantastic.
So check us out. We're Raised by Wolves. You can learn all about it. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Incogni. And what Incogni does is basically helps get your personal information off of the internet.
What's so funny is that before Incogni ever approached us, Nick has been telling me to get online and do this because I never Google myself. I never look at anything. I don't have the bandwidth. And my incorrect age is floating out there.
Right. Yeah. There are serious consequences. Yes. So I've helped Leah sign up and it is very easy to sign up. You basically just like sign up and you give them permission to reach out to data brokers on your behalf. And then they just like take care of it. They reach out, they request all this information to be deleted. They report back to you, let you know how it's going. And like, that's it. And so Incogni has an amazing deal for our listeners. Get an exclusive 60% discount. 60. That's a lot. So go to incogni.com/WYRBW. That's INCOGNI.com/WYRBW. Oh, Leah, one more thing.
What?
Have you signed up for Patreon yet?
I have.
Me too. You out there, have you signed up for Patreon yet? No? Well, go to our website, WeRaisedByWolves.com. Click on monthly membership. Check it out, because we would really appreciate it if you'd support our show.
We love your support.
We would. So please do that, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.